Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe explains how to survive a spiritual attack.
I would encourage you to do the opposite of what a lot of what I would call prosperity preachers would tell you to do. Some of you need to do the opposite of pumping yourself up, and some of you and Sid need to get on your knees and say, I am weak and I am in need of God. You need to lean in and press in to the power and goodness of God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, Mark, your whole premise for this series has been how to live as a believer in difficult circumstances in this culture that's antagonistic, and how do we survive in our faith in that culture?
Wayne, I don't think there's anybody that's been following Jesus for any time that does not know the sting of spiritual attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is vicious, and it is ongoing, and it is incessant, and these days it's strong. And so it's not if you're going to be spiritually attacked, it's when you're going to be spiritually attacked. And so this passage powerfully sets us up to be able to survive the attack that's coming your way.
Thankfully, God's word speaks to this issue, so let's turn there now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5.
It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Word of the Lord. All right, so if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I'm going to give you five things you need to understand to prepare for spiritual attack. Number one, you need to embrace an attitude of humility. Now, Peter starts in this chapter by speaking to spiritual leaders, and he talks to elders. And by the way, if you've been around the church, God has established a church, and When we say elders, New Life Community Church, we have a group of elders. That doesn't mean that they're old people. It just is a term that means that they are spiritual leaders that have been given the commission, the ministry of overseeing the spiritual health of a congregation. They're called elders. We meet with those elders on a regular basis. The Bible has qualifications for elders. And it's their responsibility to watch over the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And so Peter is addressing elders, first of all. And by the way, how many of you know that oftentimes, if the enemy wants to really derail a large group of people, he will attack the leaders first? And that's why I would encourage you to pray for the pastors of New Life Community Church and the elders of this church on a regular basis, that God would protect their hearts, that they would walk in purity, that there would be discernment, that they would withstand the attacks of the enemy, because the enemy always seems to attack, first of all, the leaders to try to derail. And on a side note, by the way, can I say that my heart is incredibly grieved when I hear of a pastor that's either fallen in moral failure or financial impropriety or goes through a divorce in their life. And I've been a pastor long enough to know, over 30 years, and I've had so many pastors that I've known that were women of God who God had called, who were living a life, but my heart is grieved when I see they've had to step out of ministry, sometimes because their marriage fell apart or because there was moral failure. And people ask me sometimes and approach me and say, well, Pastor, when you see that happen, aren't you like mad and shocked? Like, how could they? And my response is always, no, I understand how they could. Because every single one of us, whether a pastor or not a pastor, you have a heart that has the flesh in it. And it's by the grace of God that we stand. So our response when we hear someone has fallen from the faith should not be to throw rocks. It should be to get on our knees and say, Lord, help me to stand strong. And Lord, pray for them that they may be restored as well. And so the apostle Peter, he's speaking to, first of all, so spiritual elders, and he talks to them, first of all, about elders and standing strong and living right. And then he shifts in verse 5, and he addresses a broader audience. And then he says, all of you, he's speaking about spiritual leaders, first of all, then he switches, because all of us come under attack, and he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Now, you may not understand exactly why in fighting a spiritual battle, Peter would emphasize humility. Because normally when we think of a spiritual battle, we think the opposite of humility. Have you ever seen warriors getting ready for the battle and they kind of chant and they scream and they cheer each other up and they pound their chest and you see these war movies and they're hitting their shields with their spears and making noise. It's the opposite. It feels like it's the opposite of humility. It's courage. It's strength. It's, hey, look at me. Don't dare to attack me. And so when we're getting ready for battle, I remember when I was a wrestler in high school and on a wrestling team, there was guys that would, on the opposite team, that they would come up and they would always like jump up and get ready and they'd run to the front and look at you like this. You know, they were letting you know, hey, don't mess with me. It was an intimidation, like I'm strong, I'm tough, don't mess with me. And so this idea of humility seems opposite to winning a battle. Yet in the spiritual realm, what God is saying is that part of the strength that you have to overcome a spiritual attack is exactly the power of humility. In fact, this is what he says. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. In other words, put on an attitude of humility towards one another because, and then he goes on to tell us why humility is so important in winning these battles. Listen, because God opposes the proud. That word there, God opposes, is a very strong word. It means it's a verb that vividly pictures God as one who places himself in battle array against someone. In other words, the idea is that when someone is proud, God pits himself against the proud as someone that's ready to do battle with someone that's proud. The Bible says that God hates a proud heart. And if you want to lose the favor and grace of God quickly, let pride enter into your heart, and it will quickly sabotage your ability to live for God. In fact, if you study scripture and find out a little bit about, we talk about Satan or the devil or the enemy, we use that terminology. But ultimately, if you study the history of Lucifer, an angel that was really set apart to guard the glory of God, you will see that it was pride as he exalted himself, as he was around the things of God, and as he guarded the glory of God, he started to touch the glory of God. He started to want some of that for himself. He started to elevate himself. And as he was around the holy things, he said, I want some of that for me. And it was that caused this angelic being to fall that we know now as Lucifer or the devil. But he wasn't always that way. It was pride that made him fall. And what scripture says over and over, not just in this passage, but it says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, charis, unmerited favor, undeserved goodwill to the humble. In other words, picture it this way, that the moment that you get a proud heart, the moment that you start to elevate yourself, and how does pride show up? Pride shows up in lack of prayer. Pride shows up in you taking the glory for things that belong to God. Pride shows up in your, in your unwillingness to say I was wrong, to ask forgiveness, to humble yourself and initiate reconciliation. Pride shows up when you look down at others who have fallen and are weak and you act like that could never be you. And instead of trying to go along and help people out, you cast criticism and judgment upon them. Pride shows up in arrogant, rude attitude towards other people. Pride shows up like our opinion is the only opinion that matters and no one else is right around us. Pride shows up in when we're worshiping, I refuse to humble myself before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because people may look at me and think that I'm less. Pride opposes itself to worship, opposes itself to humility, opposes itself to the fruit of the spirit of meekness and temperance and love. Pride sets itself as an ultimate bastion against the grace and mercy of God. Can I say this? Listen, pride is that incognito sin. It's like carbon monoxide in the house. It's imperceptible at times. You don't know it's there because you can't really smell it, but it's deadly. And we've all heard the tragedy of someone where some furnace was, the oxygen wasn't able to get out, and suddenly the carbon monoxide goes through the house and the family ends up dead because they can't smell it, they can't see it. It's an invisible disease, but it's deadly. And listen, in the spiritual world, we see immorality and we can call it out. We see drunkenness and we can call it out. We see certain sins that someone's worshiping an idol, falling away from God. We see it and we call it out. But pride, oh man, pride can seep itself into a church, into spiritual people. It subtly gets itself into there. And in the spiritual realm, it looks like the heart of a Pharisee. In the spiritual realm, it shows up by we become very, very religious, but we use our religiosity to pump ourselves up, to elevate ourselves. We pray not so God can hear us, but so others can hear us. We put on a veneer of spirituality so others will pat us on the back and say, well, you're really spiritual, you're really good, and it puffs us up a little bit. We're more concerned about what other people think than really what our heart is before God. We are concerned about appearances and the opinions of others more than a genuine sense of what God says about us. We refuse to come to the altar when it's time for prayer, when God has convicted us, because we think others may think that we have issues or problems, which we all know you have anyways.
We are going to continue this message in just a moment with Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps. Mark, in addition to this weekday program called Bold Steps, we have a program that is always aired on the weekend. We call it Bold Steps Weekend. How about that?
That's right. And so most of our stations carry this message. It's different than our weekly program. Mm-hmm. And so if you're saying, hey, I don't always get to listen throughout the week, but I can catch it on the weekend, this is a great opportunity to listen to a unique message, especially for the weekend.
We're grateful to have this opportunity. What's coming up this weekend?
Oh yeah, this is going to be a good message. It's in a series entitled Fully Devoted, and the message is titled, It's Not Over Yet. And if you're in the middle of a project, if you're in the middle of something that's getting pretty long, if you're in the middle of trying to turn your family around, if you're in the middle of trying to date to marriage, if you're in the middle of something that's getting long and it's difficult, you need to hear this message.
All right.
Because it's principles about how to finish well the project that God has laid in your lap right now.
So don't wait until Monday. Join us this weekend for Bold Steps with Mark. It's on many of these same stations, and at boldstepsradio.org, there's more information. boldstepsradio.org. Now back to today's message.
And the Bible says God resists the proud. Not only does he resist, he sets himself in battle array against the proud, Christian or non-Christian. But he gives grace, favor, undeserved, unmerited favor flows when he finds a heart that is humble, a heart that acknowledges I need God, a heart that says I don't have it all together, a heart that says I can be corrected. I ask for forgiveness when I need to ask for forgiveness. I acknowledge my sin. I know that I am weak and I need the grace and strength of God. I don't have it all together. I'm a broken person in desperate need of God's goodness in my life. That's humility. The grace of God is pushed away by pride. But the grace of God is attracted to humility. Like mosquitoes to a good bite on a summer day. And basically, the grace of God is attracted. There's a scent that's attracted. It's like an aroma that draws the grace of God. When God smells humility, when he perceives humility, then the favor of God, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, starts to flow towards a heart that is humble before God Almighty. And that's why he says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore. Why therefore? Again, you've heard the expression. When any time you see the word therefore, you ask that after yourself, why is it therefore? It's building on a previous thought. Because God's favor flows towards the humble, he says, therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he, oh, listen to me, that he may lift you up. Aren't you happy that it's God that can lift you up? That you don't have to strive and fight and push and press and connive and manipulate to try to be lifted up? Some of you just need to let go and stop trying and just say, God, I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to do what's right before you. I'm going to let you fight some of my battles that I cannot fight, because then God will lift you up when you operate in a spirit of humility. By the way, it's not the only place that it says it. In James chapter 4, which is a parallel passage, I would call it, it says, James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10, it says, that is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up, because he shows favor to the humble. So the first thing that I would say is you're preparing for a spiritual battle. If you're in the middle of a spiritual battle right now that's intense, that's powerful, I would encourage you to do the opposite of what a lot of what I would call prosperity preachers would tell you to do. Some of you are looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you've heard this being told to you. You need to look yourself in the mirror saying, I'm a champion. I'm a winner. I can do this. I am great. I am strong. I am powerful. And that's what you look. You look yourself in the mirror and you say, that's who I am. Oh, no one can mess with me. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm great. I'm confident. I'm courageous. I'm smart. And you go out to fight the battle and you fall flat on your face. Because in essence, what you're doing is you're pumping up your pride. You're focusing on yourself. And some of you in Sydney need to get on your knees and say, I am weak. And I am in need of God. And my confidence is not in myself and my strength and my ability and my verbal expression. My confidence comes from God. And no, I am not strong. And no, I am not super intelligent. But I depend on the intelligence of God and the power of God and the grace of God. Some of you need to do the opposite of pumping yourself up. You need to lean in and press in to the power and goodness of God. Let me just be honest with you today. One of my great fears is that I would cross lines of pride and arrogance or touch the glory and that God would somehow have to humble me, I'm reminded of Nebuchadnezzar as he went out and he saw what he had done, and people pumped him up. And he looked at what he had achieved, and his heart became haughty. And God said, yeah, you want to be haughty? I'm going to show you. And he humbled himself, and for 7 years gave him the mind of an animal. And he walked around in the palace that he had created in the backyard, eating grass like an animal, his mind out, naked, long hair, nails growing like a wild beast, because God said, you will not raise yourself up. I will humble you if I have to. Leaders are in a dangerous place because people come up to leaders and they say, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. I tell all the leaders that I raise and coach, don't believe the headlines. Don't let your head get real big when people come up to you and say, you're such a man of God, oh, you're the only one, oh, you're such anointed. Don't believe the press. Don't let your heart get pumped up too much with accolades. And again, don't let your heart get too low with criticism, because they both will come. Stay in a place of asking yourself, Lord, are you pleased with me? Lord, are you pleased with me? Whether no one in the world is pleased, if God is pleased with you, then you are in the right place at the right time with the right attitude. Secondly, not only does he say, humble yourself if you're going to survive a spiritual attack, he says this, throw all your anxiety on God. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, I love the expression that he uses here, because he says, humble yourselves. Then he says, and when you're tempted to get anxious and worried in the middle of an attack, he uses strong language here. The language he uses is not lay your cares at the foot of the cross. He uses a language of like, take these heavy cares and throw them from you. It's an image of, hey, I'm throwing this away. It's an aggressive image. When you're under spiritual attack, one of the ways the enemy attacks you is he attacks you through a lot of pressure, burdens, anxiety, fear. And so basically what he says right here is, I want you to take that anxiety and I want you to throw it away from you as quickly and as powerfully as you can. You say, well, Pastor, I try to do that. You may have to do it over and over in a day. You throw it away from you and say, I'm going to focus on the promises of God, and I'm not going to fixate on the anxious thoughts that divide my focus.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, today's message titled, How to Survive a Spiritual Attack. Now, let me ask, if you're reaching your golden years, if you are, I'm sure you're thinking about what's to come and how to finish your race with dignity, and Mark has something to say about that.
It may not be something you want to hear, but the truth is, we're all getting older. So when those final years come upon us and we're facing down the barrel of some unique challenges, both physically, mentally, and spiritually, you'll want to learn how to cross the finish line with dignity. And in his book entitled Nearing Home, the late Billy Graham sheds light on some of the toughest aspects of aging and shows what we should focus our attention on during those final days. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words that we all want to hear when we cross the finish line of this earthly journey. And that's why I'm recommending this book to anyone who truly cares about finishing well. Again, it's called Nearing Home, and it's yours when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, so let me just say a heartfelt thank you to all of those of you that have supported Bold Steps this year. Your gifts, your prayers, cards of encouragement are so important to our team as we make plans to boldly share the gospel with everyone who needs to hear this message of hope and good news. So once again, thank you so much.
To give a gift today, just call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or connect with us online at boldstepsradio.org. Or you can write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. You can also donate online and request the book when you give at boldstepsradio.org. And then don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with our team, maybe ask Pastor Mark a question. You can do that online at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. On behalf of Mark Job and the entire Bold Steps team, have a wonderful weekend. And be sure to join us again Monday when Mark continues explaining how to survive a spiritual attack. Be clear-minded in your faith as you learn how to live as a believer in a culture that's antagonistic. That message is coming up Monday, and you'll hear it next time on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.